In a world searching for meaning and hope, there's a place where voices rise. Welcome to the Repurpose Podcast Network, your haven for podcasts that envelops the everyday lives of believers. Shows about relationships, news, sports, and so much more. With so much negative content defining the Black experience, controlling the narrative is on the forefront. We amplify, elevate, empower Black creators to share with the world their thoughts and ideas. Tune in and unlock a world of captivating content that entertains and uplifts. The Repurpose Network. One message, many voices.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the James Taylor Jr. podcast. I am super excited about this because I want to be able to give you some encouragement. As you know, I teach relationships and business, but I also want to talk to you a little bit about relationships in a more deeper sense when it comes to dealing with church, specifically church hurt. And a lot of times when we talk about this, we talk about church hurt, about what the person did, but we never talk about how a person can heal and what God really says about those things. So what I want to do, I want to read this text to you, and then I want to jump right into giving you solutions on how to grow and be healthy during this season of your life where you may have been offended by church. And even dealing with when a lot of us, the pandemic hit, a lot of people stopped going to church because it was their way to get away from the environment they felt was being cultish and toxic. So let me start with this. Luke 6 chapter, verse 27. It says, "But to you who are willing to listen, I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who hurt you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, offer the other cheek also. If someone demands your coat, offer your shirt also. Give to anyone who asks. And when things are taken away from you, don't try to get them back. Do to others as you would like them do to you. If you love only those who love you, why should you get credit for that? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good only to those who do good to you, why should you get credit? Even sinners do that much. And if you lend money only to those who can repay you, why should you get credit? Even sinners will lend to other sinners for a full return. Love your enemies, do good to them, lend to them without expectation to repay. Then your reward is from heaven, will be very great, and you will truly be acting as children of the Most High. God is kind to those who are unthankful and wicked. You must be compassionate, just as your Father is compassionate." So I'm going to pray real quick. Hopefully this will help somebody, right? And help them to really process that. But let me just pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you, God, for a very tough topic to talk about. Church hurt is real. Church hurt is real. It overwhelms people. It makes people feel depressed. It bothers them so much. And there is legit gripe for what was done to them. But God, hopefully this will help people to heal and to grow and to be exactly what you have called them to be. And that means a follower of you, in love with you, loving their enemies, loving their haters, and giving you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So what I want to do is, let's just look at church hurt for what it is. I'm going to tell you what it's not, though. I'm going to tell you what it's not. Let's look at it for what it is first. What it is that somebody at a church or a leader or a member or deacon, elder, trustee, whatever you want, has said or done something that hurt your heart. They betrayed you. They may have hit on your wife or hit on you or you felt like the preaching was really ungodly and they were saying a lot of things that don't matter, right? And then they may have fallen into sexual sin or fallen into stealing money, and it broke your heart because you looked up to them. I want to start by saying this number one phrase that I think everybody needs to learn. Stop looking at man to see God. Look at man through the eyes of God. What that means is, don't make man a god. Don't look at them and make them what you need them to be for you. You look at man, you look at them as if, look at man to see God. In other words, like, you should see God working through them, but you shouldn't see God as them. Because what we do is we tend to have the leaders that we serve and we start to treat them as demigods, as people that we think can do great things and walk on water and do all these things that are so miraculous, but we don't look at morality. We don't look at the mess. We don't look at the fragility, the fragileness of them as a human being. Like, everybody's broken. And I say this to people all the time. Shepherds are guides, not gods. Deacons are guides, not gods. They're human beings. They're going to make mistakes. And so what you want to do is you want to stop looking at them and put them on a pinnacle where they're the chief shepherd. They're not. They're the under shepherd. They're called to do God's work, but they are not called to be controlling God's people. That's clear. And that's the difference between a church being a cult and being a culture. A cult is one, and the words are so close that you got to be very careful. A cult is people following blindly. A culture is habits that are developed based on biblical principles where people can grow spiritually. And so we have to be very careful about the type of people that we listen to and the type of places that we go. So I want you to look at them through the eyes of God, right? When you look at people through the eyes of God, you realize that God is the one who's empowering them by the Holy Spirit, empowering them by the word of God. They are not perfect on their own. He's perfect, the work through them that creates this level of perfection that they get to accomplish great things that they're not worthy of doing in the first place. I want you to stop doing that. The second thing I want to help you with is I want you to realize that church is a place where you go to get three things: the word of God, fellowship, and see and serve God's people. That's through baptisms, that's through teaching the word of God, that's through evangelism. That means you get to use the gift that God has given you by serving. The word of God has to be what God has called it to be. Second thing is the fellowship. That means building up with one another, encouraging one another, correcting each other, helping each other to grow. I do believe a healthy pastor can give correction, but that correction should start with him first. That's why everybody, I'm recommending this, read 1 Timothy, the third chapter, where it talks about the standards of a leader. He needs to be a manager of his own home. It says it for the pastor, and it says it for the deacons. Why? Because if they can't manage their own home, they can't manage a congregation. The home life is the best fruit test of anything else. Now, are you going to see everything in their home? Do people know how to play holy and play perfect? Of course they do. But you'll see the cracks, and when you see them, don't ignore them. I want you to see that from that perspective. Now, here's another thing that I want to say to you. Fall in love with God, not in love with a building, not in love with a certain type of congregation. Love the congregation, love them well, but don't make them your God. A lot of times when people go to a certain church, what happens is they get so frustrated with what's going on in that ministry is because they make that ministry their God. And I'm going to say something that's going to hurt a lot of people's feelings that do this whole deconstruction thing. I just want to talk to you guys who do deconstruction just a little bit before I go any further. Stop telling people that the church is bad. You need to say the church you were at was bad. Right? And this is the part that I said this to somebody and they were borderline almost cussed me out. So do not take this the wrong way when I say this. If you leave God because you left the church, because the church didn't treat you right, I question if you ever loved God, but you probably just left that church. Now hear me out. Nothing, the Bible says, nothing shall separate us from the love of God. And you say separate from a church. The church cannot separate you from God unless that church was your God. It was a place that you went that you felt it was going to make you feel better about your relationship with God, and that relationship with that church defined your relationship with God. Therefore, that church was your God. What I need you to get to is where the scripture talks about work out your own soul salvation with fear and trembling. That's between you and God. Because remember, when you read Romans 10, 9 through 10, where you confess with your mouth, believe with your heart that the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, not your pastor, not the deacons, not the person who invited you. It's God who did that, right? And then it says, love the Lord thy God right? Mark 12:28-34. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then love thy neighbor as thyself. I don't think you can fully love God's people unless you fully fall in love with God and make him the marquee, the pinnacle, the one you surrender to before you deal with anything else. And this is coming from a person. Like I'm going to share some strong stuff. This is coming from a person who my first pastor went in the military hit on my wife. I had every reason to hate him and then and question God. Here's the difference between me and many people. I didn't really question God. I questioned him and his relationship with God. That's it. I left the church. I dealt with a lot of wounds, and I realized I was being bitter instead of better because I spent most of my time in that moment. So let me give you another phrase that should help a lot of you. Hold people accountable for that moment, but don't make our God responsible for other people's mistakes for a lifetime. In other words, if these leaders hurt you, if these leaders did you wrong, if these groups of people didn't treat you well, you have to make sure that you're not blaming God for the actions of humanity because they're not God. God may have allowed what happened to you, but God wasn't the one who did it to you. They did it to you. Here's another thing that I think is very important. You have to have a heart that has to walk in forgiveness. And walking in forgiveness has to be predicated on you. It's going to be a tough one. Even loving the people who hurt you. Okay? Because what I'm saying is it bothers people. Love your enemies. Do good to them. Lend to them without any expectation of being repaid. That's literally what it says. It literally says, if you love only those who love you, why should you get credit for that? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good only to those who do good to you, why should you get credit for that? Even sinners do as much. This is a tough statement, man. What I'm reading to you ain't easy, man. Verse 27, I'm going backwards in this text. But to you who are willing to listen, I say love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who hurt you. So if somebody at the church hurt you, your true forgiveness really does not stop at you saying, I forgive them, I'm going to leave them alone. It stops when you're able to love them. And then watch this. I'm going to make it even tougher for you. Have sympathy for their brokenness because hurt people hurt people. There are a lot of leaders that have positions in a church of power, not because y'all think they're narcissistic. Most leaders who have positions in church of high power and love congregation, they got a gift that hides their insecurities. I'm going to be redundant on this one. They got a gift that hides their insecurity. In other words, they're a great communicator. They know how to talk. They know how to draw a crowd. They got big numbers at their church, but they don't know how to live a normal everyday life aside from the position that they have. And so what they do is they come across narcissistic whenever you challenge their character. They say stuff like, well, I'm the pastor. I'm the man in this house. How dare you? That's why a lot of preachers like to use this false text to benefit themselves where they say stuff like, touch not my anointed, do my prophet no harm. That don't mean you're not supposed to be corrected, Joker. And let's be clear. There are a lot of leaders now, I call it edutainment, not Bible. I'm going to stand 10 toes down on that. I just had another conversation with my mentor about that. And he said, well, you're right, son, but a lot of people don't want to hear it. They need to. So you got to be okay with realizing that that person is not perfect. That person has a gift. That person is talented, but you should still forgive them. And true forgiveness is loving them and having sympathy for them. And then you got to move on. And do not blame God for the bad work of the individual. That individual did it. Don't blame the whole church. That person did it. And I'm going to say it again for those of you who are so-called deconstructionists. You don't get to blame God for the actions of God's people. You hold God's people accountable for their actions because God is going to hold them accountable for their actions. But he is still God, the beginning and end, the bright and morning star, the first and the last. He is everything. Alpha and Omega. Nobody will ever be able to degrade the greatness of God because of the sins of humans. We've fallen away from grace. We make mistakes. I'm guilty of making mistakes. First of all, I'm a parent. I make mistakes all the time. I got teenagers. I start popping off and losing my mind on the regular. But I understand that it's by God's grace and mercy where I'm at. And so I want to challenge you on that. Let me also say this to you, for a lot of you who may struggle with this. Stop saying all churches, because you don't go to all churches. The average church in America is less than 55 people. So when you pick that mega church preacher and you get excited about him and you want to criticize him, the average church in America is less than 55 people. You can't make one bad apple spoil the whole bunch. And let me say something very challenging to you, because this is something that I had to say to myself. So I'm not just talking to you, I'm talking to myself. You can't criticize an entity that you no longer want to be a part of and expect anybody to respect what you say. Because you walked away from God based on a church, when God is still God, no matter what a church does. There are a lot of people who claim to serve God, and God made it very clear that he will spit them out of his mouth. I said this to somebody the other day. He said, "You cast out demons in my name, you heal the sick in my name, but depart from me, you workers of iniquity." That means you can actually do the work but not have the heart. That means you can actually do all the things that qualify you to be seen as someone who loves God, preach a great sermon, lay hands on people, help people out, give away gifts and all that, and then God says, "I never knew you." Because there's a difference between doing performative work and having a private practice. A private practice, I tell those people, your private practice should outweigh your public performance. That private practice is you spend so much time praying, fasting, studying the word of God, which I'm on my journey of really learning to love God more than I love anything else. I've realized that Mark 12, 28 through 34 needs to be my life mission, because it is the greatest commandment, to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Most people don't read their Bible for themselves. Most people go to a preacher to do the work for them and then get mad at the preacher for not preaching the way that they think they should be preaching. Or when that preacher makes a mistake, or when that deacon makes a mistake, or when that usher is mean to you when you come to the church, you throw the whole church away, but that wasn't God. The Bible says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." That's 2 Timothy 2:15. In other words, I need to know God for myself. Work out your own soul salvation with fear and trembling. Why am I harping on this? You cannot leave a God you know based on the people that you learn from, right? You got to leave God based on you knowing him and having issues with him for yourself. And that, I can respect that. If you study the word of God and you fall in love with God and then you don't like him anymore, that's one thing. But somebody doing something stupid, asinine, ignorant, or saying something terrible does not take away from who he is. That Bible says we are like grass. And the Bible says the grass withers and the flower fadeth. We fade away, but the word of God shall stand forevermore. Then John 1 says, "In the beginning was the word was God, and the word became flesh, and it dwelt among us." That's Jesus. So if I'm going to base my life on somebody, it's going to be falling in love with Jesus, falling in love with God. And then I'm going to let the chips fall when they come to man, and I'm going to love them, whether they're good, bad, or indifferent. But I have to first fall in love with God. And the reason why I'm taking my time to talk about this is because I get asked this all the time. Why do you still serve God? Why do you still love God? And let me be more transparent. In the last span of 5 years, I got let go from a major Christian organization, which was my dream job. I did not work there for the money. I love this place. Just recently, last year, I don't remember what, I think it was maybe November. Dream job. And I think I got fired by somebody who's racist. They didn't want me there. I get it. Former police officer and all that. I'll never trust this human being to manage my life, but I'm going to love them regardless. And I might even be wrong in what I think about. I don't see it that way. Very insecure, always trying to tear people down, very mean, not narcissistic, super insecure about what they say and do. Most people call them narcissistic, just super insecure, right? Has an image of how black people are. I'm fine with that. My wife died of cancer that same year. Like, now imagine this. You get your dream job. Your wife passed away in July. Your dream job lets you go in November. And then they tell you you're on sabbatical. I think that I think that's the one that chops my soul, is that I got let go on a sabbatical. Now, it turned out in my favor because my time was up, I believe. Remember, all things work together for the good of those who love God and called according to his purpose. See, God knew this was going to happen. But if I was to blame God for it, I wouldn't see what God is doing in it, because I need to be home more with my kids. I need to have more time with them. And then on top of that, I watched how people treated me from the church when my wife passed away. I had people at the funeral who fired me from a job right after. Matter of fact, I want to go even further. Since I've been in Georgia, it has probably been the worst season of my life. First week I moved to Georgia, my daughter ran away. We had to do an Amber Alert for her. Right? My business was taking off. I was doing well financially. This taught me a valuable lesson. I'm telling you how God really grew me, because money does not give you peace of mind. Then I am working at a job at a church there, and I made some mistakes there because I just wasn't in the right frame of mind. And instead of being shepherd, I got walked out of a house that we were staying in for people who work for the church. And he walked me down the block to the corner of that neighborhood and fired me outside on Randolph Street. And then I asked for more time to find a place for my family, and I was told, you got this window. All of these people that said and did all these things to me was at my wife's funeral. Can you imagine that? The person who hit on my wife was at my wife's funeral. Man, if anybody got a reason to hate church folk, I'm that guy. And there was a grace that God gave me through that whole process that I want to close this part of the talk with you with. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. I gotta read this to you. You guys are like, dude, you bug it. I can't believe you said this. But the reality is, I love this thing right here. Love your enemies, do good to them, lend to them, without expecting to be repaid. Then your reward is from heaven, will be very great, and you will truly be acting as children of the Most High God. He is kind to those who are unthankful and wicked. God is kind to those who are unthankful and wicked. You must be compassionate just as your Father is compassionate. That's what God wants from all of us. God doesn't want you to walk away from loving him. He wants you to see that humanity is fallible, and lest you too shall fall. Listen, out of all of what I said, I'm not perfect either. There's some stuff I've done and said that may have warranted me to have certain things happen to me. I cannot tell you how many times people have shown me grace, because I say what I feel, and I say what I mean, and I mean what I say. I don't scratch my own itch. I don't laugh when ain't nothing funny. You disrespect me, I'm going to disrespect you back if I'm in my flesh. And God is still working with me. I got a temperament on me that I had to yield to God. That's why I study emotional intelligence a lot. And the reason why I'm saying all this to you is that we stop loving God because of the actions of other human beings. You may be able to deconstruct the behavior in another individual, but you can never take away from the power and presence of the living God. He is amazing. He is kind. He is gracious. He is forgiving. He is understanding. If you look at the fruits of the Spirit that God has given us, they don't compare to the actions of those who made mistakes in your life. If you look at the love of God and the totality of who he is as God, you can never be concerned about what other people think about you. You look at man through the eyes of God, you realize that they're flawed, but he can still use them. You can look at them and say that they got areas in their life they need to improve, but he still loves them because he loves you. You know how you know you can love God? Because if you were to have the screen, can you turn to the screen? I just want to show you something right now. If somebody was to put if somebody was to put all your failures and mistakes on this screen right here, you'd be embarrassed. You'd feel ashamed. You wouldn't want to know everybody to know what you do. And somebody still loved you. And guess what? You still go to church. You still serve God. You still love God. And you got flaws. And what I'm saying to you is take the time to really look at your life and realize that you have probably hurt and made mistakes to other people, and they had to forgive you too. And don't throw God away, because at any moment, your sins could be on the screen just as bad as those other individuals. So I want to challenge you this week. When we talk about this part of church, and I think I'm going to make this a separate series. I'll probably put it out on Friday. I want you to fall in love with God again for you. And then the next video that I make, I'm going to make a video where we're going to talk about the steps of how to get back to a solid relationship with God, where you're growing with him and not putting your emphasis on man. But you're loving man, because that's what God required us to do. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then love thy neighbor as thyself. That means you got to love those people who hurt you and forgive them. And the best way to forgive them is to love them and have compassion for them. Because every day God has compassion for you. If the things that run through your mind, the things you gossip about, the mistakes you made. I was thinking about all the stuff I went through in church hurt, and I thought about the stuff I did before I came to Christ. It shut me up. It humbled me. I know we have a high expectation for our leaders in church, and we should, but never put nobody before God. And if you leave the church and you leave God, I'm going to question if you ever knew who God was in the first place. And I have a right to, because it said, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. All your energy, your strength, all your energy is supposed to be in loving him, not loving other people and making them your God, but loving people by loving God. That's why the steps is the same. Love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, then love that neighbor as that self. And then it says, when you love somebody, right? Literally, you love them not for what they can give you. You love them specifically for who they are. I want to challenge you again. This verse right here is very important. If you love those who love you, why should you get credit for that? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good only to those who do good to you, why should you get credit for that? Even sinners do that much. And if you lend money only to those who can repay you, why should you get credit for that? Even sinners do that. It says, love your enemies, do good to them, lend to them without expectation to be repaid. Then your reward is from heaven, will be very great, and you will truly be acting as children of the Most High God. You must be compassionate, just as your Father is compassionate. Hey, take this as you will, man. This is my prayer for you, that you will learn to love people and care for them. You know what I'm saying? Do good to those who hate you, man. Even those who may have betrayed you in church. You may leave that church, but never leave God, because he's never left you. Hey, have a great day, man. Always remember to love, pray, serve, and share. You can do that any and everywhere.